Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter.
Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, both big and small.
I'm Biz.
I'm Emily. And today we're going to dive into the topic about microplastics. Okay, so Biz and I have kind of, we've talked about microplastics before on the podcast a little bit.
Briefly here and there, yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess I just wanted to talk a little bit more about what they are and why they're bad, I guess, and just dive into that a little bit more thoroughly.
So do you have an actual definition of microplastics?
I do. I definitely do. Naturally. Okay, so to introduce this topic, I actually think that it would be valuable to just read this paragraph from the University of Nottingham. There is a researcher who, since 2018, has been doing a study on microplastics called Tom Stanton. And so he was one of the first people to start researching this, which I think is really interesting because I think that it's pretty commonplace language in the environmental world now. But yeah, I just think it's really interesting. So I just want to...
When was that?
He started researching it in 2018.
Oh, so not that long ago.
No, not that long ago. And okay. So yeah, so basically he just has this kind of intro paragraph that I think is really interesting. So since the mass production of plastic began 60 years ago, humankind has produced over 8 billion metric tons of plastic. His statistics say that just 9% has been recycled, another 12% incinerated. The rest, which is almost 80% of the plastic ever created, amasses in landfill sites or ends up in the natural environment, eventually finding its ways into rivers, streams, and oceans. Plastic is accumulating in our oceans at an alarming rate. The largest concentration of ocean plastic waste, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, located between California and Hawaii, is estimated to measure 3 times the size of France, while heartbreaking images of animals entangled in plastic are shockingly common. Plastic pollution has become a very visible issue, but one of the most intractable forms of ocean pollution is harder to see: microplastics. Yeah, he goes on, so that's basically a quote specifically for him, but he goes on to say that plastic does not biodegrade, but breaks down into ever smaller pieces, resulting in microplastics. Smaller than 5 millimeters in dimension, much of the hundreds of millions of tons of plastic waste in our oceans, is made up of microplastic. How these tiny particles affect our environment is still a relatively unexplored area of research, but one Nottingham researcher is diving in to discover how we can begin to tackle the problem of microplastics. So that's just kind of discussing it, but the definition basically is that a microplastic is something that's smaller than 5 millimeters in
dimension.
That's
actually a lot bigger than I would have expected.
It was also bigger than I would have thought, because that's half a centimeter, right? So I thought that it was going to be smaller, but I think that probably it's one of those things that's like out of sight, out of mind, right? I just think it's really interesting because probably I think I'm like, oh, well, I don't really have microplastics around me, but it's probably the ones that are most impacting me the most are the ones that I can't see.
Right.
Yeah. So I think
I know that we eat a lot of microplastics. And when we eat them, we're eating pieces that are a lot smaller than 5 millimeters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like things that we wouldn't really be able to pick up, obviously, because Biz and I aren't voluntarily eating plastic that we know of, right?
And so I think fish is probably the biggest culprit because what is that really tiny animal that whales eat?
Plankton?
Krill?
Or yeah, krill.
Krill and plankton.
Plankton. Yeah.
Eat the tiny microplastics, and then they get eaten by fish, and then so those microplastics end up staying in the fish, and then they eat more, and it accumulates, and then we eat the fish, and it just...
Yeah, so bioaccumulation, really, is what you're talking about. The idea that particularly, like, animals like us who are higher up on the food chain, you see this in, like, mercury as well, right? Like, that's also a toxin. And so... Yeah, Tom Stanton, this researcher, he talks a lot about in his work about how land is a pathway to rivers, and rivers are a pathway to our oceans. And I just think it's really interesting because I was kind of thinking, like, you know, before I decided to dive into this topic, I kind of was like, oh, well, like, what's the big deal? Like, if we're, which sounds kind of crazy, I know, but I wanted to try and be devil's advocate and see, you know, well, what is the big deal if we're consuming microplastics? Like, if we can just pass them, yeah, our bodies can't break them down, but why is it actually a problem to have them, like, in our systems? And it's because they don't really, like, we aren't really able to, like, pass them or move them through our systems in the same way, which is really interesting. So this is another quote that I'll just pull right from Tom Stanton, is that basically he states that if ingested, microplastics can block the gastrointestinal tracts of organisms or trick them into thinking they don't need to eat. So for a lot of smaller organisms, this can actually lead to starvation, and also that many toxic chemicals can adhere to the surface of plastic, and if ingested, contaminated microplastics can expose these organisms to higher concentrations of toxins. Yeah, so I thought that that was really interesting as well, is that, like, for us, we might not notice the impact as severely, but over time, this is going to be something that impacts us because these microplastics are going to be, like, lining our intestines. They're going to be, you know, like, we're going to be ingesting them kind of continuously. Yeah, this is something that's kind of hard to get away from.
And I wish I could remember where I read this, but I do recall reading an article about how they're finding microplastics in placentas now. So, like, as babies are born, they've been getting their nutrients from a sack full of plastic.
Oh, that. Okay. So I actually just did a quick Google search because, that's disturbing. But yes, according to the Environmental International Journal, yeah, there is a study. For the first time, microplastics were detected by some sort of microspectroscopy in human placentas. And they were found in all placental portions. Ooh. Okay, and then here's the kicker. Here's the highlight. Microplastics carry with them substances which, acting as endocrine disruptors.
BPA is a well-known one.
Right. And so an endocrine disruptor could cause long-term effects on human health. So yeah, it might not be, like, immediate that we're seeing these, but yeah, it's something that we're kind of being exposed to all the time.
Yeah, supposedly that can have huge effects on development. So especially, like, puberty.
Yeah, or even just development, like, in utero, right? Like, wouldn't you
think? I would imagine.
Your body. I mean, I would imagine so, or nurse. Like, I really have no idea, but yeah, I think that this topic is really interesting, and I think, yeah, it hasn't really been researched a ton, and we know that plastic is bad, but it is really interesting that now it's kind of like, it's really being considered a toxin. Even particularly in Edmonton, like, I think that this is also absolutely critical of, this goes back to the fundamental, like, environmental act of not littering, obviously. And I think that people all the time are like, oh, well, we're not close to any oceans. Like, not that I know a lot of people who are, like, throwing their garbage in on the ground all the time or littering. But I think that we're in Alberta, we can be a lot less fearful of this idea of, like, microplastics in our oceans because we're not near oceans. But the reality is that, like, all of our waste, whether we put that in a landfill and it's somewhat contained, but there's still that idea that our waste is going to, like, get to the ocean in some regard, and
that is
going to impact us.
I would like to argue that it doesn't require you specifically putting it on the ground to get there.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Garbage blows out of garbage cans, or animals pick through it and whisk it away, flies off the truck, just making the garbage in the first place.
Totally.
Gives it the potential to end up where it's not supposed to be.
Yeah. And even, like, with our landfill systems, like, you know, we can't guarantee that those are 100%, you know, completely sealed and that absolutely no negative occurrences are going to happen because our landfills are engineered. it's really interesting to think about that. And I guess I never really thought about plastic being like a toxin or it exposing me to toxins and it being built up in my body. And so that, I don't know, is pretty alarming, I would say. Yeah, not great.
Nope. It's a little scary. I think I quoted in a previous episode, and I can't remember which one now. It was my wine for the week that we inhale a credit card's worth of plastic every week. And that was a study done by some university in the States. I want to say Utah, but I did quote
whole,
right? Remember me saying that?
Well, is it inhale or just consume?
Inhale like consume in that. The air.
Oh. Oh, it's in the air too.
It's in the air you breathe.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that this goes back to the, you know, the fundamentals and some of the items that we've kind of been talking about like for the last however long. But I will say that I still don't necessarily think that like plastic in itself is this horrible material. It's first of all, like how we've developed our plastics and how we use them in society. And then also, yeah, like we don't have a system for using plastics effectively the way that they need to be used. And like what I mean by that is basically like it's the single use plastics, or that's at least my understanding, is that a lot of these microplastics are coming from cheap, flimsy, single use plastics that break into microplastics but don't necessarily biodegrade. And so that's kind of where the issue is coming from. Not necessarily like, I do think that there are microplastics that come from like, you know, your food containers or something that you're like eating out of, or, you know, heating up your food in, and then plastic is like in very small increments being transferred to your food because it's not like a food safe container. Like I do think that that also contributes, but I also just think that a lot of the plastics that are basically things that we just like throw away or are put into our environment unintentionally are the ones that are really coming back to kick us in the butt.
Yeah, I think it's just that there's no respect for the material, right? Like it holds such a small value to most people in their minds that it's just not considered worth taking the time and effort with.
Yeah, like, but it's so disposable. It's so, it, like, people consider it useless.
It's disposable because it's cheap and easily acquired and light, right? Like, it's not, I don't, I hate the word disposable. I hate it so much. I just,
yeah, it just seems like ridiculous.
There's no such thing as disposable because there is nowhere to dispose of it. If you throw something away, away is somewhere. It's not gone forever. It's still there.
Yeah.
There's biodegradable. There's compostable. There's cheap. But disposable is not a, it's just incorrect as far as I am concerned.
Yeah, because it's still there. You still have to deal with it. It's not actually disposable. Yeah, yikes. Yeah, like doing research in this, I think it is just like a bit alarming. And even according to National Geographic, like water treatment facilities can't remove microplastics from your water systems. And like there's all of these, I guess, kind of things that, you know, this is kind of going to be something that we're going to have to deal with, which is a bit of a bummer. But at the same time, like you can definitely take steps to make sure that you're not contributing microplastics as much. And I think that that is probably like, I don't know, maybe the most interesting thing is just thinking about like where microplastics come from. So obviously single-use plastics, we should really just try and stop using those forever. Because right. You're right, they're these disposable things that aren't really disposable. Mm-hmm. Which is super frustrating. And then the other thing, I thought that this was really interesting as well, is that a lot of microplastics get into our water systems by, like, from our clothes. Because, because the fibers of a lot of our clothing comes from plastic. And so that's really interesting. So every time you do a load of wash, microplastics are getting into the water, And obviously you can't see these things.
Or they're very fine fibers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can help that by making sure that your filters in your washer and dryer are well taken care of and maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also microplastic filtering laundry bags, I think.
Right.
That will just reduce the amount that end up in the water.
Okay. So my mom actually, this was years ago, and she gave me and my sisters, it's called the Cora ball. And so it's like a ball that you include in your laundry, and it has a microfiber filter, kind of like, it looks like, it's called a coral ball because it looks kind of like coral. And so you put it in with your laundry, and it's supposed to like over time kind of build up and catch a lot of the plastics and like microfibers from your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all like kind of made fun of her when she got us one of these, but I do still have it. I don't know. I've been using it for a little while. I just like leave it in my washing machine. It's kind of like a silicone ball looking
thing. I'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah. And I don't, like, to be honest, I don't exactly know if it works because it's supposed to like build up over time, and I just like, I don't think that I've been using it long enough. So it does say that it only catches 26% of microfibers from flowing down the drain, but
yeah, it's 26% less, I guess.
Right? So yeah, and then apparently you can put like a bunch of them in your washing machine and that helps. So that's one solution. There's also, yeah, bags that you can put your synthetic clothing in and wash them in that. Yeah, there's like these net bag things that you can put in like a top loading washing machine, or you can get really fancy and get like a filter that basically you can like install, yeah, in the drainage, I think, of your washing machine. I don't know. That seems like very intense, but apparently it catches everything. But that's like a full on like plumbing thing that you have to go through.
Right.
And then also,
you could just avoid synthetic clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of great. And to be honest, this is a lot harder than it sounds. Like avoiding synthetic clothes is really difficult. And my sister, who I've had on the podcast a couple times, Marianne, for a really, really long time, she didn't wear any synthetic clothing. It's like shockingly difficult to find clothing that isn't synthetic, but it is possible. So you definitely can do that. And just, yeah, try and focus on that more. I don't know. Or find like good quality clothes as well that aren't going to like break down as fast. Yeah. Other things that you can do would just be like, well, don't use single-use plastics and reuse reusable sturdy materials. Like use glass. I love glass. I'm a big fan of glass. I also personally, like, I love drinking out of a glass water bottle or like drinking out of a mason jar or whatever. It just tastes better, right?
That's a good point. Leaving your water, like a single-use water bottle in the car and then drinking it. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good way to get some extra plastic in your system. Freezing and heating.
Yeah, really. I think one of the funniest things, what really blows my mind is like people who drink bottled water. I just like, I find the concept so interesting about like, why would you drink bottled water when like we have tap water that's provided to us, especially like in the city of Edmonton. Like I did mention that, you know, not all water treatment processes are going to take the microplastics out, but you know, drinking out of a single-use plastic water bottle that there's going to be microplastics in there. Like that should not be a surprise to anyone. Absolutely.
The funny thing is that quite often bottled water is less regulated than your tap water.
Yeah. You know, I've also heard of studies where they've done research on like different types of bottled water and like the minerals in it and like toxins, and I'm sure maybe microplastics as well, but they're like, it's no better than your tap water. If anything, it's worse because, yeah, you're right, it's unregulated. Sometimes it's also like, I don't know, just like the tap water of a different place that they've put into a water bottle and branded really nicely so that you'll think it's really great.
Be aware that bottled water companies don't sell water. They sell bottles.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
The water is just as good as your tap water in most locations. I will admit that there are, of course, other places that aren't as good as Edmonton. But here in Edmonton, your tap water is in good condition.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to drink the water in Penhold.
At where?
Penhold. It's near Red Deer.
Oh, I was like, but I don't even know.
They're like,
well, and
yeah. Showering in their water just feels slimy. I'm just like, I would never drink this.
Well, okay, so I grew up on a farm, and so obviously, like, I wasn't I wasn't connected to, like, a municipal water source, and even, actually, the elementary and junior high that I went to also didn't have city water for, like, a long time, and so, yeah, like, we didn't have the great water sources, and I totally had friends that, like, their well water was gross, and they, like, didn't drink it, and they would go into town, and they would, like, fill their jugs of water or whatever. Which, like, I feel like that's a bit of a unique situation. And even for us, like...
See, now, I grew up on well water. And our well water was amazing.
Well, and I think it depends on the place. Like, I also drink well water.
Except for the year that my stepdad dropped a hammer down the well. And then the water got, like, rusty for a while.
And then, like, not great.
And then, we didn't drink it that year.
Yeah. And so there's tons, like, you can totally drink well water for the most part. Like, it's usually not a problem. Our water was, I can't exactly, I think it was quite sulfury, maybe. I think that's pretty common in central Alberta. I can't exactly remember. So we did have a water distiller, which was, like, really nice. But, I mean, I, like, showered and brushed my teeth and, like, lived in water that was from the well, and it was totally fine. And, like, yeah, particularly, I mean, I feel like that's a bit of a unique situation. In Edmonton, we have really great high-quality tap water that's available to us. Yeah, so there's really no reason why you need to be drinking out of single-use plastic bottles.
Yeah. Bring your usable water bottle. Just do it.
Yeah. And look for natural things. I don't know. Like, we've talked about this a lot. Like, what can you do? What are your takeaways? I think, honestly, the takeaways from this episode is that there isn't a ton of research on microplastics. We know that they're not great. We know that they're bad for organisms. They are going to accumulate in our systems. We're already consuming them. They've been in the placentas of women who are childbearing. Like, all of these things, I think it's going to become more and more apparent, the issues of microplastics, but we don't really know what those are right now. So in order to be proactive, yeah, kind of do the things that we've been saying all along, right? Like, really try to reduce your single-use plastics, use reusable containers that are made of good material. Yeah, don't misuse plastic materials. Like I think the classic example is, like, putting a non-microwavable safe container in the microwave. Like, I don't know how many times I've done this, but, like, probably stop doing that. Yeah, and swap for better materials that are sturdier. And I think the biggest one for me, to be honest, is going to be a struggle is switching away from polyester clothing, because it's in everything. It's in everything.
It is.
Yeah.
I am making a switch to more cottony clothes for medical reasons.
Okay.
So stick with that. So
yeah. Well, they are, like, tough on your skin and, like...
And not breathable. I mean, unless you get, like, specifically breathable, sportsy stuff, which is kind of designed that way. But most of the time, polyester clothing is not very breathable and good for your body that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm also, like, I'm a big fan of, like, wool. Like, I love wool socks. Absolutely love wool socks.
I'm wearing my darn tough wool socks right now.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, I think it'll be tough to find, like, 100% natural fiber clothing, but I still think it's possible. Or, like, try to lean more towards natural fibered clothing, because it's just better for you in general, better for the planet. Yeah, and why not? Like, if you have availability. Plus, I feel like natural fibered clothing also, like, lasts a lot longer. I mean, I think it depends on the item, but...
Yeah, I think that really depends. I would say that polyester is probably stronger and, of course, is going to last for millions of years or whatever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever. Yeah, I don't know if I would say that natural fibers are going to be stronger or last longer.
I guess I was thinking about, like, in terms of, like, raw denim. Like, if you think about that, right, like, how that, like, lasts forever. But I guess it kind of depends on what you're.
Yeah, I have to say the only genes that have ever fallen apart on me, other than like the odd rip here and there, are the like stretchy jeans.
Yeah.
Which you know are not all cotton.
Yeah, like absolutely not. Yeah, so I'm thinking that like that elastic, I'm more thinking of like clothes that are made cheaply out of polyester, which like not all clothes
fast
that are polyester
fashion.
Are cheaply made. Yeah, fast fashion clothes fall apart easier. They're going to get destroyed easier. They're not going to last you as long. They're going to become waste faster. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff.
Yep.
The big takeaway is that like microplastics suck. And that we're consuming them all the time.
And that we should just try not to make plastic waste as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really the thing to do. Okay. All right, Biz, should we get into your wine, cheese, and dessert?
Sure. Yeah. My wine today is people whining.
Okay.
I heard somebody today whining that there's no parking because all the restaurants are taking up the parking spaces because I know, right?
Because of patios?
Yeah.
Because it's patio season?
Because they,
oh my gosh, that's so
are trying to keep their businesses afloat in these troubling times.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, because everybody wants to sit on a patio and be outside.
That's, and I'm just like,
that drives me insane.
Don't you like restaurants?
I also
like, well, like, they shouldn't do that. You're not a one to argue because you ride a bike. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I can't. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay. So obviously I live on White Ave in Edmonton, or just off of White Ave. And so I'm like a big proponent. Like I've said this a bunch of times to my friends of like, wouldn't it be fun if they just like, you know, shut down all of White Ave and you could just like walk around. And I've been to other cities that do this like seasonally in the summer where they'll have just like areas of their downtown like sectioned off to like have awesome street life and have performers and like all this kind of cool stuff. So
they did that here downtown a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm like, I'm super into that. I think it's a great idea. I can appreciate that White Ave in particular is like a pretty major traffic route for like a lot of like to get places, particularly because like the residential areas and the train track are like, I think a bit operationally limited for like people getting around in the city in central Edmonton. So I can appreciate it, but I'm like all for shutting down the parking lane, like all for it. I wish that they would do it every year. I hope that this never ends. Like, I hope that this isn't just a COVID thing. I hope that they always like widen the sidewalks and have people allowed to have patios. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm just a big fan of that. But
I was pretty disappointed in that. I was just like, really?
Yeah.
Don't you appreciate your restaurants and your local businesses and want to like support them and maybe not pollute so much because you don't have to drive as much?
Also, like, has he ever sat on a patio? It's like the most fun experience ever. Like, like enjoying Edmontonian summers with patios is like my favorite thing and one of the best things about Edmonton. So he should, yeah. Maybe he just hasn't experienced the good life.
I'm sure he has. Anyway, okay. So my cheese, on the topic of plastics, a gentleman walks into his therapy session wearing nothing but plastic wrap.
And
the therapist says, well, this isn't going to take long. I can clearly see your nuts.
Oh my goodness. That was a little bit inappropriate. Okay, what's your dessert?
Okay, my dessert is that I get to go to the gym again.
Oh, yeah, because gyms are opening now.
Gyms are open.
Oh, my goodness. You've been missing gyms. I've been missing like a lot.
So much.
Well, that's so exciting. What are you most excited about the gym for?
Well, not being a lazy bum, mostly. I have a really hard time working out at home. There's just so many distractions. It's just really hard for me to get into it. Whereas when you're at the gym, there's literally nothing else you can do there.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true. I'm like not a big gym person, so
I love the feeling the day after when you're like sore and achy, and I'm like, oh man, I worked so hard. It was great.
Oh yes, so amazing,
right?
Well, that's good. Yeah, Yeah, I am also excited for, I'm not much of like a gym person. Like, I don't just like go to an open gym to work out by myself. I don't do that a lot, but I do go to like a lot of fitness classes, which I am super excited now that they're back on too. So very looking forward to that.
All right. What's your wine, cheese, and dessert?
Well, I want to whine about particularly this idea. I feel like I had someone in the last little while, or like maybe I saw something on Facebook or something that was frustrating me about the idea that like, if you're not a hippie who lives in the forest, who like doesn't wear shoes, then you can't be like an environmentalist, or, you know, you're a hypocrite because you're not doing the things that you should be doing, which is just like so incredibly frustrating to me. And I've had this before, actually.
So that's like the whole, if you can't do it all, do nothing.
Yeah, like I'm just frustrated by that idea. And I was thinking about, this happened a couple of years ago, actually, whenever Greta Thunberg came to Edmonton. Anyways, and so I went for the rally at the legislature because I like really wanted to hear her speak. Yes, I did. And I showed up at the legislature and there was the big anti-protest going on. Anyways, and so I had kind of arrived. I didn't do the march because I was working that day, so I didn't really have time. I just wanted to like pop over and kind of be there and see what was going on and experience it. And then like I was going to head back to the office and work. And I got there a little bit early because the march was still going on. And there was a huge like anti-Greta protest, or like anti, I don't know, environmentalism or whatever it is. Anyways. But I remember standing there and like not really being interested in engaging with this like counter protest, because I fundamentally knew that nothing that I said or did would change those people's opinion in that time. Like, there's no way.
Yeah, not, and especially when their emotions are running high. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, like it's not the time to like have a like meaningful conversation with people, because people just were so intense, and like it was a pretty intense situation, I would say. Anyways, and so while I was there, me and my friends were kind of like hanging out, waiting for like the main event to happen, seeing what was going on. And there's a couple people who were like kind of trying to pick fights, or like, why are you an environmentalist? And like, you know, like some of the things that they said were just like really frustrating to me. And one of the things that was said to me was like, because I had a cell phone, obviously, and I was like wearing sneakers. And so I had someone basically yell at me and be like, you are such a hypocrite. Like, you are using cell phone, like you're using a cell phone that has components that were mined, and your shoes like come from plastics, which like comes from oil. And like, literally this person was just like sitting there tearing me apart because that's what they felt like they needed to do, which like, whatever. And so I found that so frustrating.
I would not take that as well as you would. I don't.
Like, on it, like, it was like a, like, it was someone who could like physically harm me. So I was like not interested in engaging with them, like someone that was quite a bit larger than me. And so honestly, at the end of the day, I'm like, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change your mind, particularly not in this environment that we're in. So like, I don't really need to engage with you. That's cool. Anyway, so I kind of had this like crummy experience. And so I've thought about it a lot over the last little while. And I did find this, and I've been trying to figure out who was the creditor of it. But I just think that it's like really interesting that there's a statement that kind of circulated around social media that basically says, it goes through a whole bunch of things, but basically the inventor of the engine used a horse every day of his life. The inventor of the light bulb worked by candlelight. The inventor of steel had a full house of iron. People building cleaner, more renewable energy need to drive cars, ride on planes, and heat their houses with gas because that's what is available to them. And participating in the world as it is does not disqualify you from trying to improve it.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah. And so I thought that's been something that I thought is like really, really powerful. And so obviously I'm whining about this, but I guess I don't know. That's my like 2 cents for the day, is just
you're
like,
whining about it, but in a way that you're like, don't be discouraged by the naysayers.
Yeah. And it's like so easy to be discouraged and to be like, oh my goodness, this is so overwhelming. But at the end of the day, like, remember that, we're here to improve and do the best that we can. So anyways, that's my wine. My cheese is that this is a really corny joke. It starts out by saying I once littered in a forest, which y'all know that I would never do, but I once littered in a forest, and the only ones that saw me were a group of otters in the nearby river. I'll never forget the look they gave me as that plastic bottle left my hands. It was a look of otter disdain. It's pretty bad. I know. Okay, but my dessert is...
The quote wasn't your dessert?
I mean, that was just like a... That's like a nice little thing. Yeah, that's a little desserty. But my real dessert for me this week has been that I bought a strawberry plant a little while ago, and it's producing strawberries, and I'm very, very excited for that. So
amazing. I have so many teeny tiny little pea-sized tomatoes. They're so cute.
Ooh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's fun to like produce your own food. And I mean, not that my strawberry plant is like producing a ton, but it's kind of cool.
I'm hoping my tomatoes will supplement my tomato purchases for breakfasts for at least a good month or so.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, right? Every little bit counts. Okay, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. We would love to hear your feedback, or if you have any topics that you want us to dive into, send us an email at becominglesspod@gmail.com.
Head over to Becoming Less Pod on Instagram to follow us there. We are the most active in our social media on Instagram, so that's the best place to find our content, other than, of course, listening to the podcasts themselves. You can also go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen and to donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton.
I also want to give a big shout out to Change Toothpaste Tabs. They are our sponsors and they have been excellent sponsors. They pay for all of our podcast expenses so that Biz and I can volunteer for free and we just have to input our time and we don't actually have to put any of our own money into this podcast. So thank you so much to Change Toothpaste Tabs, and I believe they have a discount code for our listeners as well, right?
They sure do. If you want to purchase some Change Toothpaste Tabs, you can get 15% off with the code Becoming Less.
Awesome. And then another important note is that Biz and I don't make any money if you do choose to try out toothpaste tabs or anything. Literally, it just goes to supporting the existing costs of the podcast. So we're not benefiting or like monetizing from Change Toothpaste Tabs in any way. Anyways, we hope to have you guys back next time. Remember, every day we can be a little less than we were yesterday. Smaller organizations, organisms,